Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Awakenings. That was a bit of There is a River Flowing by Kalani Nash. A beautiful song there. Your host and co-pilot, as I like to say, Michelle Mache. Hope everybody is doing well. Welcome to guests. Welcome to those that are listening via Cosmic Dimensions, and welcome all that are listening later in the archives. If you're new to Awakenings, welcome. Great to have you here. If you'd like to just listen as a guest, that's great. If you want to listen in the chat and actually interact, all you need to do is sign in with Blog Talk Radio just with your name and email address, and that will get you interacting in the sacred space of empowerment, also known as the chat room. If you'd like to listen by phone, the number is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad. That lets me know that you want to be heard, that you want to share, you want to comment, or you want to ask questions as we do readings at the beginning of the program. Hello, Monica. Hello, everyone coming in there. Lots of wonderful energy, always, always wonderful energy. I say this often, but I really, really mean it. A lot of the emails I get, people always cite the chat room, that they feel so welcome, that they got good information or wonderful insight in the chat room. Hello, Tamara. Blessings. Yes, happy solstice. So, you know, I look at this, I'm not even holding the space. We're all holding the space for this. We're in the space of awakenings as well as holding the space. And I couldn't do this without all of you. So again, a number for call-in, for questions, 347-539-5122. We do have Robert Wilkinson with us, metaphysician, astrologer, bit of an alchemist as well, very adept in esoteric and spiritual philosophy as well, and he will be coming on shortly. So if you've not heard him, it's well worth the wait, or coming back. If you have to go somewhere quickly, come back. And we will be doing readings. I believe he'll be answering questions as well as doing readings. We're going to be talking about, as he terms it, the grand irrationality and also the eclipses. Can never get too much information, I feel, to how to map what's going on, not only in the cosmos, but within us. We are the cosmos. So what is going on in the cosmos as well as our own cosmos, our mini cosmos. Tamara in the chat is saying he's such a neat guy, really respect him. Yes, me as well. So I want to get, I see a couple people already in the chat that have questions. I will get to you again. The number 347-539-5122 if you'd like to be heard. And hopefully there's no BTR glitches. I've been having some very bizarre glitches where I'm actually kind of bounced off of the switchboard. The call hangs up, but I can't get back in because it's saying that a host is already in the online, is already patched in. And so I'm not able, I have been using my cell phone to call myself back in. So if that happens, would you guys just hold the fort down for me? Just hold it till I can get back on the line. And Robert is really good about talking, so he, yeah, so hopefully that doesn't happen all the time, but it happens more than I would like it, so how's that? Again, call in number 347-539-5122. A couple of email questions I want to touch on, and then we will get to your calls, and then we will get to Robert, and we will be rocking and a-rolling. Okay, the first one from Debbie is, and thank you, Debbie, saying she loves my messages, so thank you. And she's asking, does our awareness, opening to spirit, enhance our intuitiveness? I strive for more awareness, but not sure if the degree of intuitiveness is just what it is. Yes, in a way, yes and no. Yes, the more aware you are, the more connected you are, the more you're going to connect to your intuitive awareness. Remember, intuition is the sixth sense. So that is something that everyone has. Now, the degree, that's a different thing. And there's intuition and there's psychic ability and there's also channeling. So the channeling, you're coming from the upper chakras, the upper energy centers. The energy is almost coming in through like a download. Psychic ability coming from the psyche or soul, it's really coming also from the mental plane. So it is coming through the sixth chakra. Now, how that comes through for different people, it will come through that chakra, but it will go to different, you know, chakras depending and different energy centers depending how you're processing information. If you're more of an empath, if you're more visual, if you're more auditory. But the psyche or psychic is actually to see, but we see in many different ways. So I happen to, in my ability of psychic channeling and as being of a medium, it just comes in all ways. I feel things, I've smelled things, I hear things, I see things, I'm able to remote view. So it happened like that for me. But that's not the case for everybody. Some people develop in one way. Like my intuition comes in through my gut. I'll get a gut knowing, or I'll get funny feelings in my stomach, especially something personally for me, if it's in my own life. And then I have to do my own clearing work. I have to get clear and do my own meditation and make sure, is this a fear? Is this something I'm afraid of? Or is this my ego getting in the way? Or am I getting a message? So that's how it comes in through me. Messages that I get from my guides and my meditation, those come through in multi forms. But kind of on a personal, emotional level, I get feelings in my gut, you know, calm feelings or queasy feelings. Some people hear things or some people, you know, feel things. I'll feel it, but it comes from my gut knowing first. So it's kind of interesting because you've got your personal way of getting information just on an evaluation level. And then, you know, when something just doesn't quite feel right, it's that kind of feeling. And then if I tune in or I relax, then the psychic ability comes through. And then it's like sometimes like a whole movie of what's going on or what's in the situation or what the people are doing. So Todd saying, boo, fear. No, fear is important. I do not mind fear. We just don't want chronic states. Fear has, just like anger, fear has a, it's relevant. It's when people are living chronically in fear. Believe me, when I'm walking my little dog Yoshi and I see a really big, mean dog and I have a funny feeling in my stomach and I cross the street, I've been very happy sometimes with that. Or I get a little feeling about a dog. This happened, a few months ago, probably 3-4 months ago. And I just had this feeling about, and these were two little dogs, two little, like, kind of overgrown chihuahuas, so they were probably mixed with something. And I just kept Yosh close to me, kept her away, and they started to circle around her, and thank God I had her on the leash because a lot of times I let her go off, you know, off leash, and I just wound her up and picked her up, you know, wound the leash around my hand and then picked her straight up from in between the two dogs. So It's interesting. That had happened with one dog about 4 years ago, something like that. And I remembered that trick, and I'm like, okay, now it's time to use that again. Anyway, so back to Debbie's question. So what happens is the more aware you are, the more your intuition does open. That becomes the sixth sense. That becomes an active capability or ability. But I also say it's like anything else. It's like drawing, painting. It's like a dentist. There's good dentists, and then there's great dentists, or doctor, or secretary, or whatever. Or someone that can play piano. There's Mozart, you know, there's Scriabin, there's, you know, whomever else plays, Diana Krall. I mean, whomever, you know, there's singers that are amazing, and then there's so-so. You know, like, I am not a great, unfortunately, great potter. I didn't get that gift. You know, I've tried. So some people, their intuition will be to a larger degree to other people's. It just depends on the path this lifetime. And if you really put your attention to it, if you really put your energy to it as well, it can be developed. What I find blocks people's intuition or psychic ability is the constructed ego, thinking, misinterpreting the messages that are coming through, and also tweaking readings. We all love to do that, to what you want rather than what is there. And also sometimes not reading metaphorically. You really need to look at things sometimes also metaphorically instead of literally. So, like, you might feel a union or new. I see this a lot of times with birth, like people, you know, giving birth, men as well as women, but men know that it's not necessarily an actual being coming out of them. But if you really want a baby and you're having a birth dream, that could also be the birth of yourself or a new level or a business. It may be pointing to something. Again, that's coming if your intuition is coming more in a vision or dream state, or through the subconscious. In little light, is you think a large ego can limit your intuitive talents? Yeah, well, the true ego, the ego personality, and I'm using ego from the Eastern tradition, philosophical or psychological perspective, that our ego, you need a healthy ego. And in fact, a lot of shamans and, you know, metaphysical teachers, spiritual teachers, you can't go beyond certain levels, advanced levels, if you don't have a strong sense of self. And so that's what I mean by a healthy ego personality, if you're not grounded or rooted in that. Because as you get into these more advanced or expanded states, you can miss, you know, there can be a lot of misinterpretation, and there can also be, you're working with, you know, very powerful, strong energies that can overwhelm or take you over. And so, but the constructed ego, a blowhard or a constructed ego, not a true ego, or too much wounding that one is not aware of. We're all wounded. So if you're aware of your wound and you're doing, you know, something about it, some type of healing, or there's that awareness there, you can separate out. You know, some of my most gifted times early on in my vocation, my healing practice, I was very wounded, but I gave some damn good healing sessions and readings. So it's not that you become this, you know, this being that has no issues or no flaws. It's just, can you separate that out? Do you let your emotional body get in the way? Do you let your suffering get in the way? Or can you ascend? Can you rise above to think of another being? I mean, that there's really, to me, in some level, no greater gift, just like a great mother or a great father. Can you rise above your little petty needs? And that's one thing that it taught me, doing a lot of the healing work that I did. Once I was in that state, once I was in that awareness, or doing a reading or remote view, and I was in their life, and that the honor to be able to ask to do a reading for somebody, to facilitate a healing, to assist somebody on their path, your problems are gone. And they're definitely gone for that session, because you have to get out of your own way. You know, you don't want to, you know, project. And you begin to see so much as an honor, and you see that other people many times are going through so much worse. So to me, it's a gift because it gets you out of your head and out of your pity pod. And anything that can do that, I think, is pretty amazing. So, Debbie, I hope that answers that for you. Good to get a realistic protocol. You need a way to check in to see, is this my ego? You know, my constructed ego? Is this my anxiety or my jealousy? Am I planting this here, or is this something that's being revealed to me? And we all have to do that. You have to develop your own protocol. You have to have your own protocol or way of checking in to see, is this really, you know, what I'm getting? That's why I do a lot of meditation before I do a reading. I have to clear the slate, and so my projections don't get in there. What I think. I mean, a lot of times I read for people and I'm like, God, I can't even believe this is coming through. Or what is this? And they're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that happened to me. Or, yeah, I'm doing that. I'll never forget one time reading for somebody and I kept seeing George Clooney. And my ego part is going, that can't be George Clooney in her reading. And sure enough, I said, I keep seeing George Clooney around you. And she's like, oh, that's because I just saw him the other night and he asked me out. And I was like, okay. So you never know what. You know, I've read for so many people that things that I've never experienced or never cared to, or things that are so out of my realm, you know, people in Lear jets and whatever. And you just have to open. But you have to find the protocol, the way that you can get away out of yourself, you know. Yeah, Little Light's putting, I just heard he's back on the market. That's what made me think of it, actually. That popped in my head. So many stories like that where I just read for somebody, and it just seemed so fantastic what was coming through. And but not to the person, because that's their life. I'm just peeking in. Well, we'll get to reading since we've got a shorter day today. But please keep emailing me, awakenings@selfandlight.com, and the producer will, light.com, for your email questions. But keep them kind of, if you have specific questions to you, like, you know, I'm in love with John or George, or I'm in love with, you know, I don't know whom, Teresa or something. Are they going to come back in my life? Those kinds of questions you really need to call in for, or obviously you can schedule an appointment with me at info@selfandlight.com, or you can, you know, call in. They can be specific questions to you, but they have to be open-ended enough that it's relevant for other people as well. And it's just easier for me to answer as well. All right, so let's see who's on the line. 803-231, welcome to Awakenings.
Hi.
Hi. Did you have a question?
Yes, it's regarding a job. Well, actually, I've been unemployed for a year, and I'm looking for work. But I've done different jobs, like I've lifeguarded, I worked for the deaf and hard of hearing, I worked at assisted living homes. I even ran background checks on people. So now I'm just wondering, where should I be looking for a job?
Okay.
Because I don't know where to look this time.
Well, what do you... Okay, first of all, give me your first name.
Blair.
Say it again.
Blair. Sorry, I'm sick.
Blair. Okay, Blair. Oh, okay, Blair. Okay. Well, the first thing I'm hearing to ask you is, what do you like to do? What do you want to do? Deep down in your soul, in your heart.
Well, I do enjoy helping people,
I'm
not sure where to narrow it down. Well, how
the helping and the caretaking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Um, for some reason, I keep feeling you in the literally the healthcare profession. Have you ever looked into that?
No. Would I need to go to school for that or something? Like what kind of healthcare?
Well, you would. I do feel you're going to get into something. I do feel you're going to do a few things and kind of keep bouncing around. But eventually, I do feel you having to go to school, some type of training. Now, how long it is, I don't know. I mean, at least a year is what I'm hearing. But
mm-hmm.
I do see you. The other thing I keep feeling you make things. What is that?
I like to make things. I like to paint and whatever I find. I like to just create art.
I know. I feel, yeah, if you're making things, I feel you need to develop that more because I feel that whether giving them as gifts, but also I feel you could sell those items. So I do feel you going into the healthcare. Now, you could even right now even do something like, you know, art, almost like art therapy or different, like even camps or different facilities, whether for children or, you know, adults, they welcome that kind of ability to come in and help, you know, people learn how to do something like that. I see you doing that kind of thing, you know, on the side. There's going to be something else I feel more stable in the healthcare field. But the art, I'm hearing that you need to go towards that.
Okay. All right. So will I be unemployed for the rest of this year or at least find something temporary?
No, I feel you're going to get – well, that's too much. I feel you're going to get other things. But you are going to need to take some training.
Okay.
Okay? Thanks, Blair. Hello, 818-324. You're on Awakenings.
Hi, I love you. I love your energy. I love that I have a question. I get to speak with you. I listen all the time. You know,
oh, great. What's your first name?
Diane from Los Angeles.
Hello.
I have a question about this puppy that just literally was a rescue that came in while I was working. I sell real estate, and it was a vacant house, and he just came right in through the alley, right up to the backyard. And 6 months later, he's like a cute little thing, but he takes up a lot of time, and I'm wondering, do you have any insight on why he came to me?
Healing, oh. Healing, 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 healing. And it's
me.
Definitely, yeah, definitely you. Yeah.
Oh.
It's really, really opening you up, and it's really opening your heart. Now, I feel you tend to give a lot. This dog is also, it's about giving to the dog, but also receiving the energy of the dog, the love from the dog. It's really going to open you up to receive more. Even though it sounds like it's a little bit of an...
No, it makes sense. It does.
Yeah.
Michelle,
yeah.
It's impacted wide. And I am not in a relationship, and I haven't been for a while. Well, not that long ago, but still long enough where I keep getting the wrong... I'm looking for the right relationship. And I'm surprised
Let
I'm not in one. And then
pick.
The dog... What is it, what? Let him pick?
Let
oh,
your
I would
dog
love that.
Pick the relationships. Absolutely. They know. They do
I
not
believe
go
you.
For any. Yeah, they do. They know.
I
Absolutely.
Love that.
I went on a date once with this guy, and he hardly paid any attention to Yoshi, and Yoshi hardly jumped on him or licked or did what she normally does for attention. She just sat overly obediently by my feet, and even when I was a dog, nothing. And I thought, nope, because it says a lot. If people can't connect with, I don't say everybody has to have a dog or an animal being or children, but if they can't connect with them, then it shows some, in my mind, some
issues.
Selfish,
I agree.
Yeah, issues. Yeah, yeah.
And I really, wow, you know, that was such a simple explanation, and I so love that you shared that. It gives me a great, really, a great concept on now I understand. And he is a bit of a handful, but that's okay. You know, it's like
you
should not go anywhere
without
worrying about him.
Yeah, you're getting so much more. You're getting so much more.
Perfect.
Diane, thanks for calling in.
Love you.
Great
can
to
I continue to listen?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Blessings.
Blessings to you. Okay, I'm going to see if Robert is here. So if you're just getting to the program, friend of the show, amazing astrologer, metaphysician, and as I like to say, alchemist of the mind, as well as steeped in metaphysical and spiritual tradition. We have with us today Robert Wilkinson. And let's see if he is here. Hello, Robert.
Hello.
Oh, yay.
Hello. Yes.
Hello. You're
well, hello. Hello, America. Hello, Europe. And good morning, Asia.
Yeah. All of the above. And Brazil. We have listeners. It's
so good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you back.
A lot of big stuff. I've been listening to what you've been telling people, and I'll just I want to say right now that more people are going through uncertainty about what to do, where to do, and how to do their skills, and that one of the broad-based lessons right now is to find an inner equilibrium, letting go of fear and the ghosts of the past. That's really what these eclipses are about for us.
Powerful. And do you find, because we're moving to this new level or next level, new level, that we're having to kind of purge, cleanse, as you're saying, I guess, release what the past or what's not working for us?
Well, all of life is an in-breathing and an out-breathing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That we enter into potentials and possibilities, and then through doing those things, we use up the potential. But, you know, we're trained to really like the known and familiar, even if it doesn't work for us anymore. And we're trained more or less to be apprehensive about the unknown possible. And so as a result, what happens, we tend to accumulate ideas and experiences and opinions and attitudes and ways of relating. And then one day down the road, you know, if we're even semi-enlightened, we wake up and we realize that I don't really feel that. I don't really think that. Why am I saying that? I really don't like that experience. I hate this job. I've done it for 20 years and I can't stand it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we have to do, shall we say, using critical thinking skills about what's more or less important in our lives, what's past, what's present, what's future. And without throwing the baby out with the bathwater, come to understand a new position. And that it entirely stems from our view of who we are, what we're doing, how we've grown, and what we're here to do next in our world. And sometimes it's better to go be a student and stop all of that outer running around in circles. Regarding like a new job. I mean, I've done articles on that on my site. Real world speaking, you know, this world is about skills. And if we can simply articulate our skills, not what jobs we've done, but what skills we have because of where we've been, and we keep the focus not on the job but on our skill, then it shows our potential employers that we can learn, that we are willing to move and grow with the moment rather than, you know, be sort of standing on these skills that we've always had, and so this is the job I want to do. And interestingly enough, because my background's in psychology, we found out a long time ago that most people should have no fewer than 3 different or separate professions in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that within those professions, you need to either change job function or add a job function or learn something new about the job every 2 to 3 years. And that's how we stay sharp in this world, is not by getting a job and digging in for 10 or 15 or 20 years. It's by seeing ourselves as these eternals, having human experiences where we're learning and we're learning and we're learning and we're learning. And not everything has to make a buck. And
yeah,
sometimes we,
that,
you know, and sometimes we learn things that we think, God, why did I do that? You know, that seemed to be a dead end thing. But over the long run, we often find we've learned skills that we can apply in other contexts. And this is one of those times in history because of, for example, we just finished the third of the three high full moons of each year, where the full moon of spring brings forth a new life pulse. The full moon of Taurus Scorpio, which is called the Wesak Festival, it brings forth a new wisdom form that is then distributed at the full moon of Gemini Sagittarius to the world as a world teaching. And so we've just finished with this whole new wisdom form that's just been distributed as a world teaching, which is going to affect everybody for the next 9 months. What we've been learning, the wisdom form, is about peaceful adaptation, trusting our wisdom and offering it to others with patience, but honoring our own unique style. And then the recent solar eclipse, because all eclipses do is they take some things away, that sort of one set of lights gets shut down so that another set of lights can come forth. Okay, and this year we actually have, it's weird because we have like six eclipses, you know, it's much more than most years, yeah. So this last solar eclipse that was in Gemini was all about, shall we say, liquidation of the past, liberation from the ghosts of the past, the ability, now that we've seen a new life, a new possibility. Because things are always getting cleared out. The job is to know what to say no to and what to say yes to, because nature abhors a vacuum. The minute we end a relationship, we end a job, we end an old philosophical view. The minute we end an old personality attitude, for good or for bad, that creates a void that then will be inevitably filled. But it's our job to be real thoughtful about what to fill that void with. Because ideally,
you bring up
learning.
Exactly. You bring up a really good point, because it seems in this void time of, you know, I've been calling this, Robert, the not knowing time, because our ego, we don't know, you know, what's coming next. What do I really want to do? Like even our caller, I like doing this, I like doing that, what else? Blair, you know, I see a lot of people running to fill that. Like, I've got to get something, you know, lock into something. Can you speak to that at all, or what can help people with that running to or running away from something?
I believe that for the most part, we follow our kama manas, our desire mind. And mostly we've learned these desires. You know, it could have been subliminal stuff when we were infants. It could have been stuff we picked up from our friends or even our opponents when we were children. Cues we picked up from family, teachers, society, or whatever. So we kind of get into those grooves believing that they bring security and comfort and reality.
Mm-hmm.
And every time these are challenged, and they inevitably are, because we live in an impermanent world. So nothing is really as permanent as we would like it to be. And then when, shall we say, the object of desire is fulfilled, then we look for something else and we start chasing that. If the object of desire is not filled, then we start becoming angry or frustrated or afraid, desperate, grasping, proud, and refusing what we can't get. And see, all of life, And I know that you teach this to your students, and this is one of the true realities, is that we're here to learn. We're not here to, shall we say, stand firm on one view. We're here to learn eternally. And we are here to accept and reject through the sequence and selection process, And all of life is just a series of experiments teaching us about ourselves, where we stick, where we become afraid, you know, where we become inflexible or rigid or proud or defiant, you know, and all of this helps us see, shall we say, the errors of the lower ego so that our higher self can bring those parts of our personality back into line with our higher intention. And yet sometimes we can't do that until we accept that some things are done forever and there's no point in chasing them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit chasing an ideal of a boyfriend or a girlfriend that we had in high school. And there's no way that that can work for a mature adult because we didn't know what we were doing back then. We just didn't know. We had no idea.
Right.
And you know, a lot of times we grow up and yet we're still longing for that unrealized ideal that, oh, if I just had this, if I just were like that, then my life would be great. And yet, it being an image, it's kind of inherently an illusion to begin with. Even if some things might temporarily fulfill us, we wind up, everything is leading us back to ourselves. And who we are as a unique being with something to do in this reality at this space-time coordinate. Okay? Because we are an eternal consciousness, so it's not like we haven't dipped into matter countless times. We're going to keep dipping into matter. Oh, and a lot of it really is about just learning not to manifest, you know, jerk behavior, whatever that might be in the moment. And I mean, there's no rules there because sometimes, you know, not to be cliched, but you have the kindest thing you can do is to be really a hard case about something. Because, you know, letting things drift or letting things hang fire or not letting go of certain things is really, that's the jam. And for example, right now, I could give you 50 different examples of people I've been working with over the last month that irrational fear has come up. It makes absolutely no sense why they're being afraid of what they're being afraid of. There's simply no reason for it. And at that point, you know, again, my main drumbeat is if you're feeling fear, then that's all you have to focus on eliminating. And, you know, maybe you look at it that the fear isn't really you, that the fear is just the personality that hasn't worked this thing out yet. And so you have to have compassion for yourself. You have to have a measure of self-discipline just because you're afraid you can't go binge out on, you know, chocolates or alcohol or something because that just makes it worse. You know, as much as chocolate releases endorphins, there's still points where masking the symptom of fear does no good. It's kind of like there's a lot of things ending right now because of the past solar eclipse being at 12 degrees of Gemini. Okay, this past lunar eclipse, which is one of the brightest and longest full moons that we've had in a long time, that also was put the focus on cutting back, pruning, eliminating, releasing the burden, letting go of pressures we no longer need to bear, and with the focus on the good fortune that comes by seeing everything now as a practice of powers we will master in the future. So either people are freaking out because things are cutting back, things are getting lost, things are being eliminated, you know, and for those who want to clutch, it's a pretty scary time. But the fear won't help to hold on to anything. The fear won't help to make a person secure. Okay, so all that you can do, for example, when it's time to let go of a loved one, is to be fully in your heart, in as much compassion as you can find, understanding that when it's time to go, it's time to go. You know, when it's time to let go, it's time to let go. And there's nothing else to do but move with whatever is being eliminated, because we can't push the river. Okay, it is impossible to hold on to something we can no longer hold on to. And that's where I find a lot of people get frustrated, because they're losing their job and they're freaking out because they don't have one, failing to remember that maybe it's already been, you know, been there, done that, and there's nothing else to do with that.
Yeah. Complete. Now, Robert, we have a question in the chat. Also, if anyone has questions for Robert or myself, you can call in 347-539-5122, 347-539-5122, and press 1 on the keypad. I'm going to scroll back to... can you ask Robert how we can work with the quantum field as part of our ascension awakening process?
I'm sorry. Hello? What?
Oh.
I'm sorry. I think
yeah.
I just
can
dropped
you hear
the
me?
Signal slightly. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Michelle, can you ask Robert about how we can work with the quantum field as part of our ascension awakening process?
Well, sure.
Okay.
See, quantum is a term, I prefer Rudyard's term of potentiality, okay, because potentiality is very fluid. It's very elastic. And what is potential in one moment might not be in another, but it might be in the following. And that's why I've always said flexibility is a virtue in an age in transition. And we are truly in an age in transition. So as far as working with the field, if the field says, let go, let God, then don't hold on, you know, in forms of spiritual materialism. And this is where I think that people there is a serious problem right now of spiritual materialism. There's a lot of people they've sort of studied the stuff, and they've taken the trip, and they understand what they understand about the nature of their spiritual practice.
Yeah. Intellectually, right?
Well, they haven't taken it almost like into a completely impersonal view of time, space, energy, matter, life, and self.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the more that we can detach from the personal self, the easier we can move through the field. And even the field itself is in flux. One of the biggest things that's flipping people out right now is the shift from Neptune in Aquarius to Neptune in Pisces. And I wrote a couple of articles about this, you know, about a month ago, where Neptune is a great, vast, weird dreamscape, where a billion forms, you know, countless forms from all space, all time, appear and disappear, and we're all tuning in to the collective field. And for those of us that have been doing a spiritual practice, it is an awakening. To those who are not doing a practice, it's a nightmare, because they can't figure out what all these strange shapes are all about, and all that collective dread and fear. And because, see, the collective consciousness is kind of like this giant soup. And unless you clean up the soup once in a while, then the soup stays polluted by all those billions of thought forms, you know. And so, like, one of the ways to work with the field right now is be very aware of your personal responses to things that make no sense, to things that bring up a vague dread, you know, an apprehension, especially, for example, maybe a sense of separateness or being frozen up, for example. You know, this is a really very intense time, given how weird it is. And, you know, sometimes when you're in the middle of a big weirdness, the one thing you don't want to do is anything to make it worse. Okay, that's
absolutely key.
You know, so sometimes, you know, how you work with the field is through an action. Sometimes you have to work through a non-action, you know, because it's better to try to understand why you're having the mental and emotional and material reactions that you're having to something that it may make no sense, but why are you having those reactions? You know, why aren't you having different reactions? Why should you have fear? Why not curiosity? You know, why have dread? Mm-hmm. Why not have a sense of adventure? And some of this really does involve, because we've talked about the four afflictions of the mind in previous shows, the attachment, aversions, illusions, and the mind suffering over its own suffering. And this is sort of one of those things where you have to be able to redirect the mind away from patterns that create suffering into patterns that create, if nothing else, positivity for one's own momentum, if you want to call it that. You know, something where, hey, you know, if there's nothing to do, then enjoy yourself, and if there's something to do, then enjoy doing it. But don't feel like you're struggling in fear or apprehension when it's a perfect opportunity to just cut loose and have a sense of adventure. And again, some of this has to do with the grand irrationality, which we've also discussed in other times that we've been together. And I mean, the solar eclipse put that one into full play because of where it was. It was triceptile Pluto and biceptile Neptune. And so, without a doubt, everyone is hitting critical forks in the road in a time that makes no sense. There's no particular reason why some of these choices have to be made, but they have to be made anyway.
They do. They do, from a higher place. Okay, we're going to get to, we've got caller 267-586 on the program. Hello. Welcome to Awakening.
Well, hello, Ms. Powell.
Hello.
Hello.
The phone is kind of going in and out. Todd, your phone is, but I'm hearing like it's like Morse code, which I don't.
Maybe she'll call back.
Okay, let me come and take someone else. Thank you.
Okay, call back in. Okay.
Sure, we'll do it. Thank you.
Okay, 603-232.
Namaste.
You're on Awakening.
Namaste. Lovely and blessings.
Blessings. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, Robert, this is Mark from New Hampshire. And what's interesting is those of us that are consciously aware of our true multidimensional nature, working with a holographic matrix, working with, you know, as you know, all the stars and the planets and everything, it's all interconnected, which is a lot of what you do. And how everything all channels together through the holographic matrix through us and our connection, you know, with all that is. What is your perception how that is all interconnected, the way that works? You know, especially those of us that are consciously aware of that energy and are able to work with it, you know, through our oneness and so forth. How do you work with that?
Okay. In a nutshell, we have 12 frequency zones of existence. We have the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual personal. We have the physical, emotional, mental, spiritual interpersonal. And we have the physical, emotional, mental, spiritual transpersonal.
Mm-hmm.
Through this, our natal tendencies popped into the world. We pick up where we left off in the last lifetime in terms of what we're here to learn and what we're here to transmute. And so we have our unique sort of part to play.
Right.
The progressions are how we symbolically evolve. You know, like every Aries goes through Taurus to become Gemini. You know, Venus and Libra goes through Venus and Scorpio to become Venus and Sagittarius. And so these lights, all of which have a positive and all of which have a negative, and I discussed that on my site, Aquarius Papers, in terms of the dualities of the planets. Okay,
right.
Like for example, the sun's duality is fruitfulness and barrenness. You know, just the right amount of sun makes our lives very fruitful, just like our gardens. Not
right.
enough sun or too much sun brings barrenness. So
right.
we're learning to transmute all the negatives of the planetary lights into positive expressions through the filters of the signs. Now, the transits show us the gestalt of the moment. You know, that's sort of what reigns on saints and sinners alike. So, for example, for the longest time right now, the general pattern in the sky has been one of what in the Jones patterns is called a bucket. And that means everything's on one half of the chart except for that one planet that represents the handle on the other side of the chart. Well, that handle planet is the focus of all the other planetary energies. In this case, it's Saturn in Libra. We are all being forced to get balanced, reasonable, moderate, structured in our rhythmic response to things, you know, find a more fair, just, and balanced way of structuring our inner and outer existences and responses. And so the way I look at it is that we always have our own stuff to be working out, but it's within changing external conditions. So that, frankly, I think that that's what, like in India, they call the Leela. You know, it's a big game. It's a big game. And we have to sort of be our authentic self and evolve within ever-changing conditions, some of which are not very harmonious for us.
Right, some of them. You know, especially the releasing that we need to do as we're leaving the 3D, 4D, dualistic consciousness.
Well, you know, it's important here to remember that time is the fourth dimension because it's the perceptual means by which we measure experience in various spatial realities. And so, you know, without time, everything, all past, present, and future would collapse into the eternal now. And we're told that that's, of course, the great goal is to live in the now. But that doesn't mean we don't have a sense of the process that brought us to where we're at.
Right.
Because sometimes we have to divorce the past. And that doesn't mean necessarily a thing, though often it does, because we work out our experience through people and through things.
Right.
And just sometimes we use it up. It's kind of like our favorite sweater that now has holes in it. We're better off, you know, recycling it than clinging to it and having it clog up our closets. And it's the same thing with even our approach to spirituality. I've learned a lot in my life, but I find that different seasons require different applications of the same truth, but in different ways.
Right.
And so, you know,
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, which is how we're moving up through the dimensional octaves and vibrations, and we're able to see, and it's more of the astrology, astronomy, the planets, the stars, and seeing different aspects of them that were not available to us in the lower 3D vibrations. And now that we're moving up into the higher dimensional octaves, we are able to see and work with those other energies in new and different ways, especially those of us that are aware.
Well, realistically, what you're talking about is the difference, for example, between 19th and 20th, early 20th century mechanical deterministic astrology.
Right.
And then during the middle part of the last century, we moved more into psychological and even humanistic astrology.
Right.
And
right.
In my own sessions with people, I tend to take almost what you might call a more psycho-spiritual approach, you know, in terms of helping integrate the different planetary lights in terms of their strengths so that the challenges can be easily met. And in that process, the being shines their highest self through, you know, the lunar challenge, the Mercury challenge, the Venus challenge.
Right.
I mean, you know, like a lot, just because sometimes we're not supposed to be Martian. We're supposed to be Jupiterian.
And the eclipses that we've had recently, too, as well.
Well, the eclipses are really, they're like the cosmic garbage collectors. You know, they come and they take away the stuff that we really just don't need anymore. And they shut down parts of our life that we just, we don't need anymore. And so, like,
Mark,
you know, like...
excuse me, I'm going to interject. I'm going to put you on hold to get to another caller, but you're welcome to... flag back on. Flag means.
Okay. Well, I just think it's really interesting the way that you're putting this information out. I love it, Robert.
Well, the one thing I'll just say right now is that, you know, check out www.aquariuspapers.com because I cover a lot of different, you know, elements of astrology and metaphysics and social awareness, but I also have managed to diligently keep the comment streams open despite trolls and you know, garbage dumpers. It's a great place to get in there and dialogue with other members of the community and to really sort of, because I've got people that come in from literally over 130 countries. And so it's a global site with people from all kinds of cultures and spiritual paths. And it's just like this show, okay? I mean, people are checking in from all over the place. And that above everything else, if there's nothing else that anyone listening to this show takes away, we are gathering together in tribes, okay? We're finding tribe. We're finding
community. Now's the time to do that.
Right,
Robert? Now is the time to do that. And yeah, we're being pulled. Follow the resonance.
Right.
And sometimes that does mean adapting and sort of moving our own internal position so that we can come to some degree of rest, getting ready for the next period of activity.
Right. I mean, I'm a BTR host as well for 2 years, so I definitely see all that happening as well. And it's beautiful to see.
It is, and it's time for us really to come, you know, to come together, you know, to connect and share. You know, wisdom, it is our path, what we've been doing.
Well, see, yeah, you've hit the crux of everything. I mean, you have a community, I have a community, but we are the community, and even with community, with beings that aren't checking in, you know, that don't come to the show or the site, the whole world right now is, I mean, I get it from all over the world, and I guess the good thing is that we have the internet and media that can connect us. The unfortunate thing is we're all over the world. And so, you know, we don't get that sit down and look at each other like we did in the 70s and 80s. That we're both, you know, so I believe that it's in what we're doing, though, is we're building, call it non-linear community.
Yes.
You know, we're learning who tribe is in the broadest sense of the word. And this gets into something that a great master once talked about in one of my favorite books. And that's that at the end of this, call it chemical mineral era, the world would drop its chemical mineral body and everything would go into where the densest state would be astral. Okay. It doesn't mean that things wouldn't be real. In fact, the colors would be more vibrant, the smells would be more vibrant, the feelings between beings and across species would be more vibrant, but that at that time, because of the law of the seven, once you drop that dense material, you've got to have a compensatory seventh, and that would be when humanity split into higher humanity and lower humanity. And I would prefer to think, call it spiritual humanity and denser humanity, because ultimately the eternal lesson is that just as we were helped and taught and cared for and watched over, so we also must do that for others. And I think that the trick is to know, you know, don't put your pearls before swine, but at the same time, don't bail on somebody who really very well could be a great spiritual consciousness if they just got a little nudge in the right way.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, so we're really right there at that point where we understand that we can't keep screwing with the world the way we've been screwing it. I mean, some still believe that, but they're retrogrades. You know, they're sort of the old humanity, and also there have been other times in history where the entire world undergoes what's called an initiation or a transformation, and certain consciousnesses that really aren't compatible with Gaia go to different evolutionary systems, you know, not as a punishment, but just because they don't work here anymore, you know.
Yeah. And that's a good way to look at it. They just don't work. Mark, thanks for calling in. was great to talk to you and hear your voice.
It's great, and I definitely, you know, like to work with both of you again at some point. You know, I'm doing some video Ustreaming stuff with a friend of mine. I'm just learning, so if the two of you might be interested in doing a Ustream with me, let me know, and we can talk about it.
Okay. Well, you can
get a hold of me via the site.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. I'm on your site now.
Yeah, you can get a hold of Robert at AquariusPapers.com, and you can get a hold of me through awakenings@selfinlight.com, and I put that in the chat. Great to connect. I love it. It's the converging flow.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Let's go to our next, isn't it? Yeah, our next caller.
All right, love, light, and blessings.
Thanks, Mark. Blessings.
Okay,
I was a little quick on the click. Sorry about that, Mark. Because I never know if it's going to click. Okay, 267-586.
Hello, Michelle.
Hello. Yes, hello.
And Mark. Thank you for getting my call.
Well, Robert. Mark was the caller. Our guest is Robert Wilkinson. That's okay. No worries.
How are you? We have a very fine, delicious conversation here. I love what you have out here. It's very informative. And I even was thinking about what you were saying. And I feel like I'm at a point in my life where I have taken the next step and have so much more knowledge of the energy and most, even like astrological and even the metaphysics, even spirituality. And with that, you know, we had to basically let go of the old, as you say, and come with the new, and molding into a new individual in such ways. And well, for me, it's lived that I've spent years and years in music. I've spent years and years in customer service, and I've had to really take some serious chances in going back to school and, you know, in the sciences. And this does not mean that I actually have given up the music and the metaphysics and the spirituality. All that is still part of me. It seems that even where I am now in the city, it is harder to work with what is new. Does that make sense in any way?
Yeah.
Who are you addressing that to?
Both of you, really. I mean, it's whoever wants to
just
step in.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure that it's any harder for us, given the local circumstances of our times, than it was, you know, say, any other point in history. I mean, it's a little bit like every master has similar qualities, but they all have different masteries, if that makes sense. Because, you know, how you needed to learn certain things in the 17th century are going to be different than the requirements. Again, this deals like with the transpersonal dimension of existence. And, you know, like just the evolving way that we are of being, you know, men to men to women, women to men. I mean, huge quantum leap, you know, and so we have to learn different skills now than they did 300 years ago, just as they had different skills to learn. I mean, you know, and so each era has its own requirements. If that would be my take on what you said.
Right. And with that, the new skills that I have learned and acquired over the time, and even the new mentality, a new way of thinking, that has completely changed me a good 360 degree, if you want to say it that way. With that, it's as if the direction I'm going into in the healthcare, it's like I know I want to help people with disabilities and provide them with the exceptional care, and also the working with the music, and also really working with them on an energetic level instead of just surgery and that. And I feel that I don't know if I'm at, I mean, I understand that I'm still in a transition, and that everybody is, and, you know, we're all in the process of that. I do feel that I'm also in that stage where there are so many options and things that are thrown at me, and it's hard to decipher or understand, or not understand, but like know what is good for me or what will help me in the acceleration of my own personal path in healthcare, and also with working in the spiritual world as well. For example, a lot of my friends are always telling me, Why don't you go back to doing legal work? Why don't you go back to doing customer service? Why don't you go back to doing the old things? And they agree that I've done very well in those. But at the same time, it's like, no, I don't resonate with that anymore. And because of all that experience and all that work that I have done, that's really more on my resume, and people don't really see that I'm actually they look at the educational background, but they don't really see much of the other works that I do on the side in relation to metaphysics, spirituality, and even music. You know, that's not really it seems like this world just doesn't go with that. But my thing is that I want to make sure that I guess this goes also to you, Michelle, is that if you can talk about this as well, it's trying to know when you have to live and let go and just work with what is given to you and try to work off of that. And,
well, I always say follow the openings, and I think something that Robert, you know, said earlier and alluded to the fact of finding – you know, your tribe, your soul tribe. You have to follow the openings in front of you and see where you're being drawn or where you're being nudged or where follow the resonance, because those people will get your gifts. The old paradigm was we tried to, you know, fit that proverbial square peg in the, you know, round hole, and, you know, there was a template. You got to be this. That, those days are, they're ending or they're actually over. So
exactly, yes.
And sometimes, you know, even, you know, insight, whether talking to someone, working with someone, getting your chart done, connecting with others like you are in the chat room and calling it, you get that mirroring of, hey, what you're doing is great, or that this is your gift. You get those confirmations. Not that we need to live by those, but, you know, we are, part of us is, you know, reflective, you know, of ourselves and of each other. So I say right now is the time, follow the resonance. Don't be in places where, you know, like Robert, you were saying, flexibility, adaptability, yes. But if you're having to contort to fit into something, it just may not be the right fit. Thanks
and
for calling in,
that's
Todd.
That's very well said. And then with that, I mean, I guess I have to just, for myself, it's that I have to just take the very steps that I haven't really taken before. And with that, just let it flow, and that's I like that. That's really resonates very much with me, and I have to resonate more and more with that and let it manifest in this
reality.
Yeah,
and find out why you're not, you know, what's blocking or stopping you from doing what you really want to do. I think that's more the question now, not bending into or, you know, into something else. Robert, do you have any thought on that?
Well, one of the things that keeps us from doing what we want to do is either it's not right for us yet, or it used to be right, but it's not now, or we need more training, or something has to happen before we can do it. And this gets back to something I said earlier. Because of the grand irrationality, nothing's going to make any sense for at least the next 6 years. It hasn't made any sense since 1995. It's not going to make any sense until about 2017. And it doesn't have to make sense. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
You think about, you know, well, what I'm doing has to make sense, and it all has to be linear, and it's got to, I've got to see how I'm doing what I think is the right thing. That's just going to lead to frustration, because some of this stuff, it literally has nothing to do with anything else other than our ability not to sort of worship the apparent certainty of our choice, but instead to experiment applying our spiritual will and then adapting when we understand that we can only go so far and then we have to stop, or maybe we've gone so far and we realize it's just not paying off. You know, that this is something that makes us feel more confused and more self-separate and more anxious than connected and centered and balanced, because it's that reference. You know, are you feeling on your equilibrium, or are you being pulled off your equilibrium? And if you are being pulled off the equilibrium, what is it showing you in the way of how to be a good surfer? You know, where you're having to move your feet around the board so that the wave doesn't throw you. And that's especially true during this time of Saturn in Libra being the handle for all the other planets, being the nozzle. We're all being forced to constantly adjust
to find the subtle shifts in balance so that we have the authorship rather than giving it to other people or reacting blindly toward confusing circumstances. Another good thing, though, you have to remember, last year Jupiter was in Pisces, and so a lot of stuff ended. You know, it's like a time of deep merging into the compassionate all for the purpose of individualizing. And then Jupiter wound up racing through Aries with all these other planets in the spring. Okay, and that set a lot of stuff into motion in our charts. And now it's in Taurus. Now it's time to slow it down, steady it down, simplify it, consolidate it, stabilize it, because we're always going to be hit with these irrational forks in the road. The trick is, how can we maintain our balance, simplify the view, and secure what's right in front of us? And also, in that regard, and this gets back into something Mark was talking about, like right now, what's really important is that the way the planets are lined up, we feel, and then we decide, and then we think. And so it's really natural to lead with feelings right now, even if they're kind of freaky and expanded and unclear, and, you know, they can go this way and that way and this way and that way. And what we have to do is allow ourselves to feel our way into a decision that will lead to an action. And then at that point, instead of freaking out and running back into our feelings, we have to, after that decision or that doing, that action, then we have to get new information, do a communication, and get new information, get a new view, and then go to our feelings to move us into the new action. And this changes, you know, like it wasn't even this way back at the beginning of June. Back then we had to feel and then think and then decide. Now we're feeling, deciding, and then have to think. So you see, it's not nice and neat. You know, the different weeks require different ways of responding to the generic whatever that's out there. But I will say that a sense of humor will cure all ills over the next 3 months. Having a sense of humor, not taking things too seriously, not taking things too narrowly, that's the Mercury square Saturn at the summer solstice that just happened. We have to break all negative, pessimistic, rigid, narrow thinking tendencies and open up to a great sense of humor so that we can transform the wilderness into beauty and sort of anchor a basic new law. And it doesn't have to be a rigid law. It's basically a law that we have come to understand through awakening to the entry into the sanctuary back around 2005, 2006. Now we're actually looking at the need to heal ourselves into that through feeling, through connectedness, through radical compassion for ourselves and for others.
Well put, Robert. Todd, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and again, great work, and love and light, as you say.
Love and light. Blessings.
As well. Goodbye.
Okay, we'll get to some other callers and some other input. Our guest today is Robert Wilkinson. You can find out more information about him and his amazing blog at AquariusPapers.com. Okay, hello, 951-760. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hi. Hi. I wasn't sure. Is this like a reading show or is it just a question show?
The mystery. I think you've got your radio on or the speaker.
Okay. Let me turn it down.
I mean, I don't mind my voice, but it is.
Yeah. There we go. Okay. It's better.
It's a little annoying when I hear that.
Okay. Sorry.
Well, actually, normally 12 to 12:45, but we have a special guest on today. Do you have a general question that other people can benefit by?
Mine is like, how do you know what your calling is? How do you go about deciphering?
I like that one. That's a nice one. And what's your first name?
Donna.
Donna. Okay. Nice, Donna. Thanks. I like that one.
Sure.
Robert, are you inspired by that question?
I believe our calling changes at different times in our lives depending on what goal we're willing to get fit for. In other words, our purpose as a 20-something ought to be different than our purpose as a 40-something or a 50-something. And even though I've been an astrologer and you know, spiritual counselor for, you know, decades, I mean, like 35, 40 years, at the same time, I continued to learn. And so at one point, I learned all about television production and directing, and I did hundreds of shows, and I had a UNICEF show, and I had a metaphysical talk show, and I did a lot of live music stuff, and that helped, you might say, the culture of Austin, Texas, where I was living at the time. I had the highest rated access show anywhere in the state of Texas. It was a metaphysical talk show. It was like the leading edge of art, science, and metaphysics nationally and internationally. It would bring them on the show. They got to talk about their leading edge. And so that was a good purpose. It was a good use of my time. At another time, because I had a really an incredible tragedy, it, in process of working through my grief, I came to understand certain common factors in the grief process, and so could write a book for people who were struggling with the death of a loved one. And that was a different purpose. And in that process, for example, I wound up just by chance inviting Robert Bly down to Austin, Texas, and Bill Moyers, through one of my clients, came down, videotaped it, put it on PBS, and it kicked open the doors to the entire men's movement. And so a lot of men got to honor their grief, and a lot of men got to express their feelings and transmute those feelings. Was that my purpose? I don't know. I did it. You know, I'm not doing it now. You see what I mean? Where I believe that the more we learn and the more we get fit for, the more spirit places us exactly where we need to be. And it doesn't mean we're destined to be doing that in that place forever or even for 5 years. That it's really more about what will lead your ego mind and your personality into its most perfect spiritual function. You know, how can everything that helps train our personality so that we can reveal the light of our soul becomes our purpose. And so, you know, once upon a time I was a musician, then I wasn't. Once upon a time I was a cultural event promoter, and then I wasn't. Once upon a time I was a producer, director, then I wasn't. All of those helped to serve me understanding what gives me a sense of joy, what gives me a sense of productivity, creativity. I've gotten to meet wonderful people all along the way. I figured out what wasn't appropriate to me and what was appropriate to me and what I could say yes to and what I could say no to. And all of that revealed me as an evolving consciousness.
I hope it's not.
So all of us go through changes so that we can move our view of who we are and what we know and what we're able to offer to our world in the way of spiritual service. Because now you're getting into issues of dharma. You know, what is your higher true spiritual functioning on this earth? And it changes. I mean, there's always going to be the element of truth behind it, but truth is a many-faceted jewel. Okay, so, I mean, your question is a profound one, but it's not like you can say, okay, this is my purpose and I have no other purpose. That's way too limited in terms of your view of who you are as a living, evolving soul, spirit, eternal consciousness here to play and sing and dance and work and love and do everything you can to be the fullness of your heart's direct spiritual knowledge.
Okay, that's a good way to put it. Okay.
I like
that's
that.
Pretty much, yeah, that's good. Well, thank you. I appreciate your guys' time.
Yeah, that was a great question.
Okay, thank you. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, you too as well.
Well, again, though, see, and that's why we can't be too hard on ourselves. Because we just don't know when it's time to change gears. We can't be bummed out that we have to leave second gear and shift into third gear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have to take a turn at a highway, we can't be bummed out. We can't be on that highway anymore, and we have to take
right.
a left or a right. I mean, it's just, it's all part of the evolving journey.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Donna. Great to have you call in. I love that. Great question. Okay, got a couple of little callers here. Let's see. Okay, hello, 310-480. You're on Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
Good to connect with you. Now,
your first name.
Oh, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
From L.A. to Chicago and then northern Michigan. I'm an Aries.
I thought you were on the road.
Yes, born in 1961, and I have been going through a huge process of letting go of where I was living and job and, in this process of recreating myself, I mean, very literally and physically, you know, too. And our house closes on July 1st in the middle of all this. It had been on the market for 7 months and then all of a sudden got an offer and it was going to close 30 days later on July 1st. So, Robert, I really appreciate you because you kind of help know what this week's or this month's game is. To me, sometimes the astrology just sort of helps you know what the energies are at play to know, okay, this is in general sort of what the game is or what the focus in general in life might be. So thank you so much. And I think for me, one thing that I've seemed to learn is that, you know, we don't know, you know, what is right might be right for now, and that's about all we know. I don't know how you would, if you agree with that or not, but just sort of taking everything one step, one moment, one breath at a time.
Well, yeah, that's living in the now. I mean, really, that is, and it's not like you're postponing acting when you need to act, but if you know what to do, then you have to go do it. If you don't know what to do, then you have to contemplate whether you should do it and or do whatever, and then maybe learn how to do whatever and make sure that what you're doing is the right thing that you really know that you need to be doing. And sometimes if you don't know, in non-action is the best thing, because then you're not screwing anything up. You know, you're contemplating, and as long as you keep putting it out and putting it out and putting it out, that you're willing to learn, you're willing to grow, you're willing to be open, you know, demand the revelation, and it will show up. It may not be the one you want, but it will show up. And this is where I think if we can really self-induce our movement, because a lot of times, see, we come into this life and we look to the external world for cues. We look to our parents, we look to our teachers, we look to our bosses, we look to our mates, we look to our friends about what we should do or what we shouldn't do, what we should say, what we shouldn't say, what we should study, what we shouldn't study. But in fact, we are individual, unique spirit souls, you know, eternal consciousnesses who are here to learn infinitely, and we have to do that walk. You know, nobody else can walk that walk for us. And so though sometimes things seem really crazy, irrational, it doesn't matter. That's just the way it is, and we can't lose our equilibrium just because we don't know something. You know, that's not an appropriate response. You know, so if you don't know, just hang out with it and then do whatever seems to be the right thing to do, and then make, you know, adjustments and mid-course corrections and incremental change as is appropriate. And that's really important right now with the Saturn in Libra, okay, because Saturn is
the solution to everything going on, which means we have to be patient, we have to be mature, we have to be organized, we have to be structured, we have to take responsibility, but in a Libra way. You know, very fair, very even-handed. I mean, you know, Gandhi was a Libra, the 10,000 steps that led to Indian independence. It didn't happen in one or two bold strokes. Libra is about, you know, doing the 5,000 incremental steps to get somewhere and weighing and judging the proportion of, should I do more of this, should I do less of this? You know, is this the right time, or should I wait until 6 hours from now or maybe tomorrow? And it's through that compare and contrast function and getting to the inner knowing that then we learn to come out of error and into a really compassionate view of ourselves as human beings who really don't know everything perfectly. But it's enough that we are willing to learn. And because we're so quick to blame and be blamed, you know, we're so quick to judge and be judged, and yet sometimes it's best to hold back a little because we don't really know the wholeness of what's going on. Like right now demands a lot of action. By the same token, right now is removing a lot of stuff from everyone's life. So you can't get too hung up on what's being taken away. You can only try to focus in on what is a balanced, open-minded approach to very simply stabilizing our own emerging process in ways that we know we've secured it step by step, and then we get new information and a new vision, and then we do whatever it is we have to do, and then we secure something else step by step. So if you can't secure it, then you're probably in the wrong direction. You know, if it's not balanced, it's probably in the wrong direction. If it's leading you away from your centeredness, it's probably in the wrong direction. Even if things may get unstable, that doesn't mean that you're not in your center. See, I'm making a difference here because we can be tossed and turned by the storm. But if we're on our center, then we are not out of balance.
Right, absolutely. Thank you, Lynn, for calling in.
Thank you, guys.
Great. Have a great trip.
Thank you.
Happy trails.
I love it. That's the way we roll. You can be anywhere and listen to Awakenings Radio. Anywhere, anywhere. I think we have time for one more quick question, and then adios, hasta luego, for Robert. We see him another time. And hopefully not too long. Again, our guest is Robert Wilkinson. You can find out more about him in his blog, contact him, actually even for astrology readings, through AquariusPapers.com. And we've got a Skype caller here. So we've got a couple Skype callers. So hopefully you know that this is you. Hello.
Do you hear what I hear?
Merry Christmas.
And happy life. You know, Michelle and...
I know, Queen. I wish I'd picked up you sooner because we've got like 2 minutes. So.
Well, I just want to say I resonate so much with your guest, from the tribe to the, you know, being versatile. So much he said. And the quick question is, astronomy, the best way to study it?
yeah, astronomy or astrology?
Aren't they relating to the stars? Well, the best way to study the stars then. Because
well,
I want to be able to look up in the heavens.
The thing about astrology is that there are literally an infinite number of approaches. Some people are more inclined to study, for example, lunar astrology and relate everything to the transits of the moon. Some are bigger on aspects. Some are bigger on sign positions. You know, there's just so much out there. I just recommend you come to my site and poke around and start figuring out what astrology is and what turns you on. You know, and then just start studying.
Okay, we're winding out, but I wanted to get to you.
Thank you.
The site is AquariusPapers.com. Our guest has been astrologer, metaphysician, spiritualist, Robert Wilkinson. And again, you can reach him at AquariusPapers.com. Robert, this has been great. Absolutely.
Yeah,
great.
I'll be back as usual. I'll be back.
Yes,
you'll
be back. Call in earlier. He'll be back, and we'll do it again. All right, everyone. Great to have you here on Awakenings. Always great to connect with everyone. So until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.